This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, I'm John Meacham, the host of Cadence 13's new podcast, Fate of Fact, on how America and its political parties got to where we are today. Available now on Odyssey, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast, into the 7 o'clock hour we go here on a Thursday. We'll hear from D'Amico Ryans and CJ Stroud later today, so keep it tuned all day long. They'll have that for you this afternoon, I'm sure, on The Drive with Sterner and Hughley, or at least snippets of it. Here was J.J. Watt. He was on Pat McAfee's show yesterday. They talked a lot about the Texans yesterday on the Pat McAfee show. This is J.J. Watt talking about the Texans' big-time second-half struggles right now.
Obviously, from my side, from Texans' side, it's very difficult. I had a stat that I had to personally look up to make sure that I was right on, but the Texans have not scored a second-half touchdown five of the last six games. That is a problem. And when you have a team like Detroit on the ropes like that, up 23-7 in the third quarter, you have to close them out. You have to find a way. And it was a crazy game. Like, it was, you could say it was a sloppy game in that there's so many interceptions. Obviously, it was all back and forth, but it was a very fun game to watch as a Texans fan, not at the end, but a very fun game to watch the back and forth.
Yeah, the sloppy game thing is interesting. It's funny when those interceptions were going back, teams were throwing interceptions back and forth. On paper, you go, wow, this is sloppy, all these turnovers. But you go back and watch, I mean, other than the interception at the end of the half, which was the Hail Mary, that, you know, which doesn't really count. But the other six that were thrown by the two teams, they were all earned. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right, right. Like, yeah, it didn't feel like a sloppy game.
Guys were making plays on the ball, you know?
No. I think as far as the interceptions go, that was one of the things that was oddly engaging about that game was it didn't feel like they were completely incompetent or hapless or anything. Yeah, they were earned interceptions. It was, now, CJ's interceptions themselves, yeah, those were bad interceptions. Mm-hmm. But I think the Lions are so good that you almost credit it for, like, okay, yeah, it's not necessarily that the Lions are like not on their A game. It's that they're being forced into their B or C game.
Yeah, this is where that cut from JJ. This is where I know that JJ is working hard at his job as a national analyst, because if he had been watching the Texans as closely as a regular fan would be watching the Texans, he would not have had to go look up the stat about the second half and not scoring touchdown. He would have known already. You know, like,
the 5 of 6, though, was I was kind of hung up on the four previous games they hadn't scored in the second half.
Yeah.
The 5 of 6 is the first way. He was the first one that phrased it that way.
Okay.
And I actually felt like, oh, yeah, that is. That sounds worse than four straight. 5 of 6 paints a longer image of incompetence. Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Like, oh, okay. Oh, but the one game was the Patriots. Right, I see.
Manure is worse than bird crap. You know, The sense I've been getting, Seth, from people I talk to, people I interact with, like, of all the losses this year, this is the one that's been the toughest to move on from for people because of the huge missed opportunity. And I feel like the fans for the Texans have fallen into like two categories when it comes to this game. You've got the fans that are still livid with anything involved with the offense, the inept second half offense in particular that J.J. Watt just mentioned. And then there is a group of fans that have kind of cooled off. We get a lot of these on the text page, which is, all right, it's been a few days now, I've cooled off. Yeah. And now moving forward, there were some things to take away from that game where I feel like we're definitely equipped to handle the next three games on the schedule much better.
Yeah, it's hard to separate it from that four-game stretch where the Texans they've lost three of their last four games.
Right.
And it's hard to separate those other two losses that preceded this one. If the Texans had you know, won three of their last four games, if they, let's say they pulled out that Green Bay game or something, yeah, especially, then you feel a lot different about losing by 3 points to the Lions, I
yeah
think. It's
yeah
just that it's the sum total of the incompetence offensively in the second half that makes you really question things. But if you look at it objectively, yeah, I'm at that point where I'm starting to watch some of the defense again, and I'm looking at the way Jalen Petrie is playing and how Kalen Bullock is coming along. And then you think about, all right, well, look, I don't know if this is going to solve anything about the way I feel about Bobby Slowik, but I know he's going to be a better play caller when Nico Collins comes back.
That's true.
And, right, of course not at the core. It doesn't change anything about him as a play caller, but it's just a lot easier when you've got Nico Collins out
yeah
there.
Yeah,
I'm not
sure
going to be complaining as much about things, I don't think, because things will get better. And then Will Anderson defensively. And, like, yes, it's the NFL. You can say injuries this, injuries that every single week. That's where I am right now. Yeah, all right. If Nico and Will are playing in that game, there's a very good chance that you end up winning it. So, like, let's load up. Let's play these next couple of patsies. And then when you're going up against the really tough stretch of your schedule, can you have Nico Collins give you a Will Anderson? Perhaps Christian Harris. It's a different team.
You think they're 9-4 going into the bye week? You think they win these next three? If you had to guess right now.
Who's the third one?
Jacksonville. In Jacksonville.
Yes. Oh boy, it's hard. I mean, even though I'm calling them patsies, better chance than not that, yeah, they win these next three.
Yeah, I mean, so they'll be favored heavily in all three.
Yeah, and unless the Texans really blow out a couple of these performance opponents and have real strong second halves, I think we'll be just as nervous going into that stretch versus the Dolphins, the Chiefs, and the Ravens.
Man,
as we would be right this moment.
That is going to be a wild week after the bye week, man. That is
yeah
a wild, like, and when I say week, like, that's not like that's, it's basically a week and a couple of days. Like, it's from the 15th through the 25th.
Yeah.
They play the Dolphins, the Chiefs, and the Ravens.
Right.
It's
yeah
crazy.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
It is going to be.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
It is.
Hopefully.
Yes.
At the onset of it, it's going to be a lot of fun.
It'll be a lot of fun doing this job. I promise you that for sure.
I wonder if you go back to, and I brought this up yesterday, the first year that the Chiefs won a Super Bowl. Remember, they went through a stretch where they lost three of four games in a row, right around smack dab in the middle of the season. The offense and Pat Mahomes just didn't quite look like what you were expecting or the promise of what he had shown earlier that year. And they fixed it. They got it back right. At that point in 2019, it looked like the Ravens were the team that was never going to lose again.
Yes.
So there's plenty of time for teams to improve, get worse, get back to health, all of that.
Yeah, I think the Texans, over the course of the next few weeks, they've got a real opportunity to improve, get a little healthier, and build some confidence too, I think, offensively. I think sometimes it's like, you know, like they say in basketball, Seth, sometimes you just need to see the ball go through the hoop.
Yeah.
And that helps things. Like, I think they need to see themselves score this. I can't believe I'm saying this about a team with CJ Stroud at quarterback, but they need to see themselves score a touchdown in the yeah second half of a football game.
It's tough. Where I try to, you know, like, I try to separate my emotion from it with Bobby Slowik being so much different in the first half than in the second half. I mean, a lot of what teams are figuring out over the course of the first half is, oh, okay, oh, they want to get CJ out of the pocket, and they're running more boots, they're rolling him out, they're doing all these things. You've got solutions to that, and you figure out, okay, this is how we're going to play these guys today. The defense does. And I think where sometimes the second half adjustments are overblown a little bit is that there's only so many things the Texans can adjust to. In the first half, they're doing things to try to compensate for the fact that they can't pass protect
yeah
conventionally.
Yep.
And teams start to figure that out. And it's been happening all season long. When they try to help the offensive line out, when they try to help the interior three out, teams see how they're doing it, and then they've got answers for that. The answer for Bobby sometimes would be, all right, let's make these guys the sit in man protection and pass protection and pick up these blitzes, and they're not capable of doing
it. That's right.
And it's so I cut him a little bit of a break in that, but it still comes back into him because they can only execute so many things.
Yes.
Like the execution, I think sometimes people hear D'Amico or Bobby Slowick talk about how, you know, they just need to execute better. Yeah, but that's not putting it all on the players. That comes firmly back on Bobby Slowick. Mm-hmm. Why are these guys not executing?
Yeah.
Get these guys to execute better.
Yes. J.J. Watt was actually asked about Bobby Slowick on the McAfee show yesterday. Here's what he had to say.
Like, we're going through a similar thing in Houston right now. Like last year, Bobby Slowick, everybody is 100% on him, saying he should be assistant coach of the year, saying we're so grateful and thankful that he's not getting a head coach. He just decided not to do head coaching interviews everywhere else. And now everybody all of a sudden turns on him immediately halfway through his second year. And it's like, all right, like, it's just crazy how fast we go from love to hate to love to hate.
Yeah, I mean, it's, and what we do is a big part of that. You know, like, it fuels the narratives, probably not the right word, but it definitely fuels the emotion.
Heavy's the head that wears the crown of
Absolutely.
An offensive coordinator in the NFL.
For sure.
It's a results business, baby.
Dude, he got a big raise this offseason, man, to not go be a head coach somewhere, you know?
Do we know that he did for sure? Did he get an extra
raise? I thought I had heard he did.
I thought
yeah.
that was my speculation, is maybe they sweetened the pot a little bit when they found out that the Falcons really liked him.
Let's ask him on Friday at his press conference.
Did you get an extra pay bump? What do you think the answer is?
If you were to ask him at a press conference,
yeah.
He would no comment that. And then I would be like, I have a follow up to the pay raise question. And I'd be like, come on, man, you totally got a raise. And how much was it?
What did you buy your wife for Christmas last year
right.
versus what are you planning
yes.
on getting her this year?
Yeah, let's go to his Instagram and see Christmas Day, what it looked like in the Slowick household.
Last year she got a remanufactured washing machine. This year she got a Maserati.
Yep, yeah. That's right.
Or a Ram 3500. That's what I would suggest, Bobby.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Put on the Bayway if you really care.
There you go. I'm going to give out the website, Seth. Go ahead.
Yeah.
So 5-Hour Energy fan line. 5-Hour Energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football super fans. Text message. Still livid here. Bobby Slowick still going to call his BS trick plays and have zero adjustments in the second half. The trick play thing is interesting because I've felt that way too about like the I'll use the Tank Dell end around because I think 99% of the time that's what people are referring to because it hasn't worked in weeks. Uh-huh. And I saw a replay of the one they ran in the Lions game, and I hate to sound like one of the coaches over there saying this, but I'm watching this, I'm like, God, if somebody just puts an elbow on that defensive end right there, Tank is still running.
I know, and that's where it comes down to the execution too. Was it? Were you guys so wholly surprised that the defensive end was going to rush upfield on that one that
you
couldn't get a? And that's where, you know, when Clint was going off about Dalton Schultz yesterday, there's so many times where Schultz is just supposed to jam somebody at the line, and it's almost like he gets a half-hearted forearm flipper into the dude before he gets off onto his precious route. Some of those are where it starts to annoy you and bother you a little bit. But some of these plays where they've got just where either a wide receiver or tight end is just supposed to pin somebody down and they just whiff on them completely. There's nothing wrong with the design of the play, but these guys just aren't executing the simplest of tasks where you're just supposed to get in somebody's way. You're just supposed to pin him for a half second and they can't get to him.
And the thing about the play, like that Tank end around play where the one guy blows it up, is that there end up being like five guys piling on top of Tank, so it makes it look like everybody didn't do their job.
I've pointed this out to you a couple times, like when we're watching during the game, is the plays where the end around action does work is that you can see sometimes on the run plays where, okay, a defender clears out because they're following Tank across the field. Where it doesn't work sometimes with some of the backfield motion was that first interception by CJ. I think they ran somebody in motion and a defensive back went with him, and I think CJ thought it was man and not cover two.
Mm-hmm.
And his assessment was wrong. You know, he threw the wrong pass right into the teeth of where a cover two corner would be waiting for the ball. And like it can work both ways.
Yeah.
It can work both ways.
Yep. Slowick is easily catching the most heat of anybody right now. Like, I don't think it's even a
content. Oh, no, yeah.
Like, of all the players, all the coaches, front office, I think Slowick is number one on the heat meter right now, right?
If we had to put the where the manure is running into whose camp the most.
Oh, okay, I like that.
I think Slowick's getting the most manure running into his
campsite. Without a doubt.
After that, is it Caserio or D'Amico?
I don't know if it's Caserio or D'Amico, or I don't know. Do we count like the offensive line as one five-headed person? Because I
was kind of thinking above the player level of management. But yeah, I guess maybe the offensive line is right below Slowick, and then it goes to Caserio, I think, just in that this is the offensive line that Caserio himself has doled out a bunch of money to.
Yeah, it's
drafted.
Right. And it's doing to Nick Caserio's the overall impression of him, it's doing to the team itself. Like, this overall is a pretty good football team. Like, if you look at the roster, and you know, the defense is fine. They got a lot of really fun pieces on offense, but the offensive line is dragging it down right now.
Yeah.
Disproportionately. And I think similarly, and it makes sense that this would be the case because Nick put this team together, is that Nick has done a lot of really good things. You know, like as a GM, like he's got a pretty good hit rate. Free agency this year, I think this free agency class this offseason, the vets he brought in have been really, really good. Like, he's hit on way more of those than the average GM does. And yet you're absolutely right. It's like, okay, what were we thinking here with this extension to Titus Howard, and what were we thinking with this? And it's all confined to the offensive line, you know?
Which is, and that's where I do think Slowick, up to a certain point, is doing a good job of compensating for an offensive line that he can't trust.
Right.
But there's also some more things that you wish he could be doing where, okay, you go into that game last week and you don't have a lot of receivers on the field that can create separation.
Yeah.
But you don't see a whole lot of rub routes and bunches and things that get guys open quickly, where guys are schemed open, as opposed to when it's just, oh, it's CJ throwing to Nico Collins over the middle, where all he needs is a 16th of a second of a window, and he can get it to Nico, and Nico's off to the races, breaking four or five tackles.
Yeah,
you know, that's not scheming Nico open. That's running a slant with Nico and CJ throwing the ball to him.
Right.
Versus a lot of this other stuff, where, man, when the Lions had 3-man pass rushes in that game, he's looking downfield and there's just nobody coming open.
Yeah.
There's guys running still towards the back of the end zone when he's under duress. There are no options for him.
No.
And he's taking sacks with a 3-man pass rush.
The Nico thing kind of highlights what we were just talking about with Caserio, though, which is like, man, everybody's hyper focused on the O-line, and I get it. I understand. I've been hyper focused on the O-line. So I'm with everybody on this. And Nick has his culpability, obviously, in the construction of this. He's the GM. He also signed Nico Collins to what might end up being the best wide receiver contract of the last 5 years. You know, like, it's so that the offensive line is kind of, it's dragging everybody down now.
And they they have gotten better in the run blocking, but it's not anything as I worried about after every Joe Mixon 100-yard performance. They weren't consistently churning out fearsome run yards.
Right.
It was like their success rate was not great. Joe Mixon Sam Warren has a good piece yesterday breaking down the Joe Mixon runs, and one of the things he brought up was that, you know, that a huge percentage of Joe Mixon's yardage has come on like 6 big runs.
Yeah.
Can you run when you have to run? Can you run when they load the box? And the Lions loaded up the box some, and they couldn't run at all. Joe Mixon averages less than 2 yards per carry in that game. A lot of the stuff they've done when the runs are successful, it still doesn't make you feel better about this offensive line just doing bread and butter run plays against good defenses, because you're stuck with an offensive line that's kind of constructed where, okay, I guess you want these guys to be good at outside zone blocking, but they're not.
Mm-hmm.
And so can you, okay, if you're not a team that can block outside zone, are you a team that can double team guys right up the middle and just power run? No, they're not those guys. But we can do these fun little plays and these traps and things where we pull the guards and they kind of have an angle on somebody and they push them out of the way for a little bit.
Yeah.
But they're never mashing guys to the earth.
No, it doesn't.
You know, so it's cute and it works for a little bit. But then teams realize, oh, okay, this is what you're trying versus we're just going to shut this down.
Go watch a 49ers game.
Yeah,
that's what this is modeled after, and it doesn't look anything like that. Like,
no,
even if they've had games where in the box score it looks like that, it does. It just It doesn't look like that.
They're not physically taking it to the other side.
Right.
In any element of the game in the run game. Yes. Other than with Joe Mixon's big runs. And there's times too where I feel like Mixon's a little too greedy, you know, like in terms of just steadily churning out yardage. There's times where Mixon's bouncing things to the outside where, man, all right, that's five guaranteed yards if you just hit it. It's guaranteed. Just go.
Yeah.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hi, I'm John Meacham, the host of Cadence 13's new podcast, Fate of Fact, on how America and its political parties got to where we are today. Available now on Odyssey, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Payne and Pendergast with you on a Thursday. Hey, more from J.J. Watt. This was funny. Okay, and this got me thinking about like, oh man, okay, so J.J., take a listen. Like, he's got to be referring to some of the things that happened when he was with the Texans. Like, he was here for a decade. This was J.J. Watt on his level of concern that the Texans have had, at this point now, multiple players-only, air quotes, meetings.
Players-only meeting. Now, they are sitting on top of the AFC South. But what's your level of concern with that going forward?
Oh, no.
I have heard that there was a long players-only meeting. I am on record in the past discussing players-only meetings and what those generally mean for an organization. When I saw the first half on Sunday, I was very close to tweeting out, maybe it's the first players-only meeting in history that was productive and positive and worked. And then the second half happened. So I'm hoping that something more positive comes out. Maybe it needed to be longer. Maybe they need to double the length of players-only.
Wasn't it a... They were saying 2 hours?
Multiple hours.
Jeez.
I did hear 2 hours. I have no direct sources, but I did hear two hours.
What the
f***? That's an extensive...
Are you doing for 2 hours? Everybody on the team got 10 minutes? All right, everybody in here gets 10 minutes. Kaimi, you're first. Fairbairn, what are your thoughts?
I missed a 58-yarder. It's the first 50-yarder that I've ever missed, seemingly, this year, and we got to be better attention.
Okay, long snapper. Wait, get up there, pal. What do you got? Okay, CJ, Will, Nico. Is it everybody talking? Is there a presentation?
It's a long meeting, man. It's a long meeting. No. I don't know what. That's just a long meeting in general. 2 hours. Doesn't matter if it's the head coach running, if it's the players running it. That's a long time to be in that meeting room.
I hope there was a presentation.
Damn. Thank you. Damn right.
All right. This is the key piece of information that they needed there was that it wasn't the entire team meeting for 2 hours, which is what I said from the very beginning was if it was a entire team, 2 hour team meeting, nothing good comes from that. You got too many. It's like any other large meeting you've ever had where the three guys who are least want to hear from end up like holding court the entire time.
But hold,
it's the guys that whine and complain about everything all the time.
Keep that thought because JJ, because you got to hear this next one here.
So just to be clear, just to lay it out, it was like a few of the veteran leaders getting together and CJ, who's not like a veteran yet, but
yeah,
still.
It sounds like, it's 8 to 10
leaders
guys
getting together, like a leadership council.
Yeah. Now, JJ, they say, take us in the locker room. How do these meetings go?
There is a lot of like, there's one guy up there that's like, hey guys, I'm going to take control of this. We're going to get this under control right away. And there's a lot of people in the room rolling their eyes, laying back in their seats, kind of waiting. And then there's definitely one guy speaking that should not be speaking in front of the team ever.
Every time.
For sure. And he's going to try and rally the troops and really give his go of it, what he's seeing from the sidelines that he thinks the team needs to work on.
Nice.
And that guy's always a f***ing idiot.
Yes. Always. That is true. Yeah, every team has that too, yeah.
And then somebody tries to bring it back around, and they're like, all right, so what we're going to take away from this is that we all need to come in a little earlier. We all need to stay a little later. We all need to really give it a good go this week. As the Jets say, 3 good weeks of practice. We need that, and then we're going to be good. And it just ends, and everybody leaves and immediately starts talking to their close clique of friends like, God, that was f***ing dumb.
Talking about everybody's speech.
Can you believe what's his nuts got up there and said, like, he played one snap one time and he thinks he can tell us how to play? Like,
Yeah, that's it. So, yeah, did I tell you? Did I tell you, Sean?
No, you nailed it. That's why
if that's why you don't do it, is that's why I was happy. I was cool with the players only meeting when I found out that it was basically the leadership council. The entire team. It's those guys that nobody wants. They don't have the answer. Their ideas are, like, so far out of left field that everybody's just, like, and they talk for, like, 20 minutes. Okay. Yeah, that's the entire team meeting. That's why it needs to be the Politburo getting together and figuring it out.
Politburo. Yeah. No, this is what I need on the 5-Hour Energy fan line. 5-Hour Energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football superfans. JJ, to me, he's clearly talking about some players-only meetings he experienced here in Houston, right?
Clearly, right?
And there were plenty of teams JJ played on that would necessitate at least what everybody's impression is of a players-only meeting. My guess is that it happened during the 2013 season where they were going 2-14, and DJ Swearinger stood up and spoke as a rookie.
That's my guess.
And
it was something about how coach doesn't recognize swag, and we need a coach who's got more swag or something like that.
If JJ were to give me one guess, that would be my guess. Like, yeah, you had a players only meeting in 2013 where you still have PTSD because DJ Swearinger, rookie safety, stood up and gave his ideas as to how the team could get better.
And about why it was an insult that I'm a second-round pick, and coach has got me trying to play special teams. That's not me, dude. You know?
Now, here's where we are.
Here's the ironic thing.
And this is where, like, post-career JJ versus, like, Captain America JJ. I like them both. But JJ post-career is so fun now. Like, he's just so unvarnished talking about his time in the league and how things go on, just like he was right there. He was really funny right there. I think if you had asked people, like, during JJ's career, like, who's the guy JJ was describing at the beginning of that? Like, you got this one guy that gets up in front of the team, and he's leading the meeting. And JJ was clearly talking disparagingly about that metaphoric guy, you know, that whoever that is. I think most people would have thought, like, JJ is the guy leading the players-only meeting about, hey, guys, this is what we need to do.
Back in the day. Right. That they would have thought that he would have stood up as a second-year player or something.
Well, or even as the vet. Like, JJ clearly thinks players-only meetings are a bunch of horse crap.
But it all depends, though. Like we said, that an entire team players-only meeting that when you haven't been doing it regularly or something.
Yeah.
Because I've been on teams where it was more of a regular thing. You did it once a week, and that's good, you know, because you can kind of check in on everything, and it would be short. That was in college. It's one of those things that I think they only get the attention that they do when things are going bad.
Yeah.
I think there might be players-only meetings that JJ doesn't even remember that happened when things were still pretty good.
Yeah.
And it's just not as notable. It doesn't get reported in the paper and what have you. But definitely, the 100%, the fact that it was a leadership council meeting doesn't – like, I don't turn a side eye to it nearly as much. It feels like, okay, this is the way it should be. You know, there's a guy's kind of figuring out, like, all right, hey, is there anything we need to tweak or get better?
Five-hour energy fan line. I bet my bottom dollar Brock Osweiler was the idiot speaker.
Who would be the current guy that you'd think, okay, might get up and be all of a sudden start talking and everybody's like, what the hell are you talking about?
Titus.
You think Titus would get up and give a speech about how they need to dress better on their way into
games? I don't know what speech he'd give.
You guys never retweet me. You never support me.
Titus is I'll say this, and this is a credit to D'Amico and Nick. Like, they don't have a lot of guys right now that induce eye rolling every time they open their mouth.
Titus says some pretty goofy things.
Titus says some goofy things. Yeah, like that's it. Like, it's, you know, it's. Titus was the one that said they let the Jets game slip away when they got outscored 21-6 in the second. They got steamrolled in the second half, you know?
Titus is the one who told Aaron Wilson that he was not trying to take the ball away from C.J. Stroud. That's the story that D'Amico and everybody else is sticking to, apparently, is that, no, he wasn't trying to take the ball. He was trying to hold C.J. up.
Yeah.
Which is a unique way to go about your job as an offensive lineman. Typically, my preferred method is to block somebody.
That's a good way to keep him up. Yeah.
I like offensive linemen. Like, usually I put that on my combine form when I'm scouting these guys.
Yeah.
I'm like, if you had the choice to protect your quarterback by A, blocking a defensive lineman, or B, embracing him and trying to protect him from falling down too hard after you stopped blocking, which would you prefer?
Yeah.
And if they choose B, that's a red flag, Sean. That's a red flag.
Yeah. Someone says Kendrick Green is that guy. Kendrick Green is fine. He's not said anything. Now, he might be that guy that fits the profile of what JJ is talking about, like who's played like, you know, 10 snaps all year.
Yeah.
Like, if
he
were to
pretty aggressively when he didn't go into the game after Kenyon was benched and then Patterson came in and got injured. Kendrick was doing some. Kendrick did some pretty aggressive pouting on the sideline after that.
Yeah.
So maybe that's an indication that he might.
Now people are guessing who they thought the lead speaker that JJ was talking about with the Texans on the text page there on the 5 Hour Energy fan line. Arian Foster probably was the lead speaker. Zero chance. Arian Foster. If there were a players only meeting like JJ was describing, Arian Foster wants to get the hell out of there as fast as he possibly can.
Because JJ was talking about the things that guys roll their eyes at. Yeah, this is league wide. You kind of figure this out as a player. You can tell the guys that are really good at giving speeches when the cameras are on. And if you watch anytime any player is giving a speech while the camera is on, if you just go ahead and look off towards the periphery and check the engagement level of guys around, you can kind of get a feel for, all right, is this guy doing this all the time? Are guys actually listening to him? There's usually a core of super engaged people.
Yeah.
50% of those guys are also just trying to get on camera.
Yeah.
If the speech is anything longer than 23 seconds, then all right, you're doing this for attention. Stop it.
Let's see. Someone says JJ just described what's going on with my situation at work and my purchasing team. We lost our work from home privileges because a couple people not going in periodically. They'd been the most vocal about losing their privilege. Lack of self-awareness. Yeah, I think there's a lot. There's a lot of what JJ described in the players only meetings that he's describing there that I think people in a normal workplace can relate to. Like,
when we had a new boss like a long time ago, he kind of got everybody together, like the entire staff, like all the part time everybody. So we had a
programming,
big room, we had a big room full of people, and a lot of them were people that were just part timers, had only been with the organization for like less than a year or so.
Yeah.
And they were the ones that wouldn't shut the hell up. These kids wouldn't shut the hell up.
Yeah.
And they were kids.
Yeah.
They were like 22. Like, you got Rich Lord trying to say something and this little punk is interrupting him. I'm like, this feels like a players only meeting. This is you were kind of all waiting around to hear what Rich Lord has to say because we're going to change direction with the way we're operating a little bit and everything.
Yeah.
And some kid that's been working there for like 6 weeks is like, well, if I might interject, and then gives a 5-minute soliloquy. Oh, I never wanted to get out of a room so hard in my life.
I
thought about faking a stroke.
They didn't say if I might interject, but now in my mind they did. I'm picturing that person. I know who you're talking about. I'm picturing that person wagging their finger saying, if I may interject.
If only they'd have the self-awareness to even say if I might interject.
Right.
Like, you know, there was none of it. There was zero of that.
Right. And people are going to text in names. It's not anybody know.
They're not here anymore. Yeah,
no,
they didn't make the cut.
No, well, and they weren't.
I think
like,
that one guy got fired like after that meeting.
On the way out the door.
Yeah,
like even our boss at the time, who probably kind of liked some of the engagement going on, was like, nope, too much from you. Yes.
Our boss didn't know enough. He hadn't been there long enough to know who the jackasses were.
Right.
So it was rough.
So he invited
them.
He
felt like it was a lot of people trying to put their best foot forward.
Right.
And get their brilliant, you know, their brilliant opinions in. And it was awful.
That's where he probably should have come to us and said, hey, who should be invited to this meeting? You know?
I think I might have been the one that made the suggestion that we make it as inclusive as possible.
So what are you complaining about then? Like, you're the problem then. You were I had to sit through that meeting because of you.
I thought the manager was going to have some control over this.
That's
situation.
True. It was.
Yeah.
Remember, Booker T was in that meeting. That was back when Booker T
That was the only good thing.
Yeah.
Booker T had to sit through it for like 90 minutes, and then he got up and gave a speech, and it was awesome.
He was great. Booker was awesome. Yeah, yeah. Like, you made a two-time Hall of Famer sit through this meeting. Shortly thereafter, Booker left and went to another station.
Yeah, that was it for him. It broke him. That players only meeting broke him.
We would still have Booker T if not for that meeting.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. 713-572-4610. Someone suggesting Xavier Suofilo was the one that stood up in the meeting and started talking. That would be on brand for what JJ was talking about, though. Like, if Xavier Suofilo stood up and said, "Hey guys, I know what needs to be fixed," and then everybody just brings a mirror over and lets him look. No, this is what needs to be fixed, Xavier. Look in the mirror. You.
They should have just gotten up and done affirmations in the mirror together. Oh. We are good enough. Mm-hmm. We are strong enough. We can score second point. We can score points in the second half.
Do you think they score a touchdown in the second half this weekend?
I think they score three in the second half.
Do you really? You think it's like a... Yeah, I think it's one of those things, like, once it happens, there will be a...
Yeah, I think it's going to be ugly for the Cowboys. I think this you want to try to just dump a hand grenade in the middle of their organization by really beating them embarrassingly on Monday Night Football. Yeah, that'd be a really, really...
That would be sweet, man.
And it's very feasible, very feasible.
Yep, that would be sweet.
I'm looking at the 2015 roster, and there aren't... Like, that's the shame about it was they had some... They had a bunch of really good dudes on that team.
They had good dudes. If they had a good quarterback on that 2015 team, I think they might have been able to do something. But that quarterback situation
was a mess. I'm not looking at one guy on the starters from 2015. Other than Swearinger, I think you're exactly right.
Yeah.
Swearinger might have been the guy that spoke up and spoke for too long.
That's my hypothesis on that one. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Thursday. Let's chat here. This plan for the Astrodome. There is a proposal out there. There's a proposal out there that's being framed as a plan for the Astrodome. There's one big thing missing if this is a plan. And I will tell you what it is coming up next.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hi, I'm John Meacham, the host of Cadence 13's new podcast, Fate of Fact, on how America and its political parties got to where we are today. Available now on Odyssey, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.